The National Broadcasting Company presents Great Plays. Today, on the occasion of Easter Sunday, the Great Plays series brings you an adaptation of The Servant in the House by Charles Rann Kennedy, first presented on the stage at the Savoy Theater in New York on March 23, 1908. Of the many great plays whose theme centers about the Spirit of Christ and its manifestations among men, this play, The Servant in the House, has long occupied a place of the highest distinction. Your enjoyment of the forthcoming great plays scheduled for the series can be greatly increased by your obtaining a copy of The Listener's Aid, published through the cooperation of the University Press of Columbia University in New York City. At the end of today's program, we will tell you how to obtain a copy of the Great Plays Drama Guide, containing complete information about the series. Now, The Servant in the House by Charles Rann Kennedy. The scene of our play is a downstairs room of an old county English vicarage. This room speaks of solid comfort and unostentatious elegance. It is the room of a clergyman who apparently has come to some compromise on the difficult question of his entrance into the kingdom of heaven. It is obvious that the vicarage is greatly disturbed of late, owing to a defect in the drainage. The vicar's library is now well blocked up with mounds of earth, sewer pipes, and the tools of workmen. At present, we see a servant, no ordinary servant, busy setting a table for breakfast. This is Manson, the newly arrived butler. Dressed in the kind of Oriental costume that servants in India wear, he appears strangely out of place in this English Jacobean room. Suddenly, as we watch, the vicar hurries in, the Reverend William Smythe. Seeing Manson, who does not look up, he stops for a moment watching him. Then the vicar advances.
Why, surely I've seen you somewhere before.
Have you, sir?
No, I can't quite. Well, anyway, I'm glad to see you, Manson. When did you arrive?
Early this morning, sir.
My old friend in Brindisi, who recommended you, writes that you bore a very excellent character with your late employer in India. But there was one matter he didn't mention. And no doubt you will recognize its importance in a clergyman's family. He never mentioned your religion.
I can soon remedy that, sir. My religion is very simple. I love God and all his brothers.
God? And your brothers?
Yes, sir. All of them.
Yeah, well, that is not always so easy, Manson, but it is my creed, too.
Good morning, Uncle William. Oh, I suppose you're Manson. I must say you look wonderful in that costume. How do you do? My name's Mary.
A very dear name, too.
We were wondering last night about your religion. I say, has Uncle told you who's coming today?
No.
Not about Uncle Josh?
You mustn't call your Uncle Joshua that. It's irreverent. He may resent it.
No, you know, you'll make me positively dislike him. Just fancy, Manson, meeting an uncle whom you've never so much as set eyes on before. I don't even know what he looks like.
Then you have a surprise in store.
You ought to be awfully interested. You will when you hear where he comes from.
I am interested.
Well, Uncle Joshua isn't his only name. And don't you think that? He's a very important person, I can tell you. His name's on everybody's lips.
Really?
Listen, what do you think of the Bishop of Benares?
Oh, it's the Bishop of Benares, is it?
I must say you don't seem very surprised. Surely you've heard of him. He comes from India.
I happen to know him.
No, really. This is most interesting.
As a man might know his own soul, sir, as they say in India. His work has been mine, so to speak.
Bless me, you'll know him better than I do. I've never seen my brother since I was quite a little lad.
Just think, Manson. He's my uncle. My own father's brother.
Your brother, sir?
I am grateful to God for it, Manson. He is.
Then, Miss Mary...
Oh, my niece here is the daughter of my other brother.
I see. Two brothers.
Yes, I have. I had.
Thank you, sir. It's always helpful coming to a new place to know who are and who are not the family connections.
Well, I must be off now. My poor brethren in the church are waiting. I must see to their necessities before I breakfast.
Now, Manson, let's talk. You've got nothing more to do, have you?
Not till breakfast.
Now, tell me everything you know about the Bishop of Benares.
What? Uncle Josh?
Oh, you mustn't call him that. You heard what Uncle William said. Do you think he'd very much mind if I called him Uncle Josh?
You may take it from me that you may call him whatever you like.
Oh, it's all very well, but you're not Uncle Joshua. No, I know exactly what he'll be like. goody-goody, isn't he? You know, religious and all that.
God forbid.
Oh, perhaps he's the other sort, like Auntie's brother. He's a bishop, the Bishop of Lancashire.
And what sort is the Bishop of Lancashire?
Well, I don't think I ought to tell you, but I once heard Uncle William call him a devil.
Your Uncle Joshua's reputation is exactly opposite.
I hope I shall like him.
How is it that you know so little about him?
Well, you see, I never knew he had anything to do with me, that he was my father's brother.
Didn't he know?
Who, father? Oh, well, you see, I don't know my father. Uncle William didn't know anything about it until yesterday.
That's strange, too.
There's a bit of a mystery about it altogether. Would you like to hear?
Yes, do go on.
Well, you see, our old church is in a perfectly rotten state of decay, and naturally it would take a lot of money to repair it. So Uncle thought of starting a fund. But would you believe it? We couldn't get a single halfpenny. Such a nice old church, too.
How was that?
Well, that's the question. People have been most rude. The funny thing is that for all their fault-finding, they none of them agree with each other. Some say the foundation's all wrong, and some don't like the stained-glass windows. But if you ask me...
Yes? What do you think?
Well, Uncle won't hear of it, but I can't help thinking it's the drain.
The drain?
You know, in spite of what Uncle says, there is a smell. That's why people won't come to church. They even say so. The odd thing is that it must be the very same drain that's causing the trouble in Uncle's study. Well, we thought we should have poor dear Uncle William perfectly ill.
Because of the drain?
Oh, no, because of the fund. He tried everything and nothing seemed to come of it. Then yesterday morning, he was reading the newspaper, and there was a long piece about the Bishop of Benares. Uncle read it aloud to us. Suddenly, in the middle of it, he broke off and said, "Look at the power this chap seems to have at the back of him. I wish to God I had some of it." Well, he'd scarcely said it when there was a rat-tat at the door, and it was the postman. And what do you think? It was a letter from the Bishop of Benares.
What a coincidence.
Isn't it just like a fairy tale? Oh, but wait a bit. There's more yet. Oh, here's the letter. Uncle gave it to me for my autographs.
I shall be with you during tomorrow morning. If anyone will help me, I will restore your church. Your brother, Joshua.
And there, do you see underneath in the brackets? The Bishop of Benares.
Dear me, just those few words.
Wasn't it like an answer to prayer? Auntie saw that at once. The odd part about it is that Uncle William did have a brother, Joshua, who went away and got lost in India years and years ago. And to think that he was who he was all the time. And to think of his never writing until yesterday. And to think that before the day is out, he'll be sitting down here, perhaps in this very place, just like...
Just like I am now?
Yes.
Talking to you?
Why?
Mary.
Who are you?
I am... I am the servant in this house. I have my work to do. Would you like to help me?
What shall I do?
Keep the secret, remember, and wish hard.
Do you believe in wishing?
Everything comes true if you wish hard enough.
What shall I wish for?
What have you needed most? What have you not had? Think it out.
Oh, Auntie, good morning.
Oh, I heard you'd arrived, Manson. I hope they gave you something to eat when you came in.
Thank you, ma'am. It will do later.
Mary, dearest, I want you to put your uncle's coat by the fire. Now run along. He'll be cold coming out of that draughty church. Oh, I'm glad you haven't changed your pretty native costume, Manson. It's very picturesque.
The postman left a letter for you this morning, ma'am.
Oh, thank you, Manson. That's what I expected. Oh, excellent. Excellent. Manson, we shall have to be very busy today. There'll be quite a church congress lunch, two bishops. My brother will join us also. Yes, the Bishop of Lancashire. This is his letter.
And here is Master. I'll hurry up the breakfast, ma'am.
Good morning, my dear.
You're back early, dear.
Oh, what can you expect? Not a soul at the church, of course.
William, I want to have a little talk with you.
What is it? Any more worry?
You needn't make it so.
Darling,
you're not well.
Oh, I think you're right, Martha. I am not well.
Not the trouble with your heart again?
No, I fancy it goes deeper than that.
William, what do you mean?
Martha, do you know the sort of man you've been living with all these years? Do you really know me? Oh, I'm a good man. I don't drink. I don't swear. I'm respectable. I don't blaspheme. Oh, yes, and I'm a scholar. I can cackle in Greek. I can wrangle about God's name. But do you know what I am? Do you know what your husband is in the sight of God? He is a liar.
William!
A liar. I heard it in my ears as I stood up before Christ's altar in the church this morning. I heard it in my prayers.
Oh, you're ill. I know it's this money trouble. It's what Joshua said in his letter about your having to get somebody to help him. Well, that's just what I wanted to speak to you about. I have a way out of the difficulty.
It's not the church. I could wish every stone of it were crumbled into dust.
William, how wicked of you. Is it anything to do with your brother Joshua?
It has to do with my brother Robert.
Mary's father. William, you did send him that telegram yesterday.
Yes. That was a lie, too.
Nonsense. Don't be absurd.
It was a lie.
You told him we couldn't put him up here because the house was upset. Well, that's true. You told him that the drains were torn up in the study. That's true, too.
But was that the real reason why we refused to have him here? Was it?
I can't think what possessed him to write and say he'd come. We haven't heard from him for 15 years.
Whose fault is that?
Why, his own, of course. He can't expect to be treated decently. Have you told Mary?
No. The silent lie was comparatively easy.
My dear, do try and be reasonable. Think of what he is.
Isn't he my brother?
No, he's not your brother. At least nothing that a brother ought to be. A scoffer, an atheist, a miserable drunkard.
That was 15 years ago, remember. After Mary's mother died.
A man like that never changes. What would have become of that poor child if we hadn't stepped in? Have you ever dared to tell her what her father's like? Of course not. Day two of all days. It's utterly preposterous.
That is all the more reason.
My dear, think of his occupation.
Do you think his brother Joshua would mind that?
It isn't only your brother Joshua. You think of nobody but your brother Joshua. Someone else is coming.
Who?
My brother James. What? Now you've heard it all.
Your brother James is coming here today. You brought him here to help my brother Joshua? Him?
Why not? He's rich. He can do it.
So, he can consent to recognize me at last.
It was as much your fault as his that you never met. He naturally resented our marriage.
That gaitered snob.
William, how dare...
Yes, he's a bishop. A bishop of stocks and shares. A bishop of the counting house. A bishop of mammon.
Well, at least he isn't what your brother Robert is. A laboring man.
Sorry to have delayed, sir, but you said 8:45, didn't you, sir?
Yes.
Breakfast served, ma'am. It served, sir. I beg pardon, sir. What time did you expect the Bishop of Benares?
During the morning, he said. That'll mean the 12:30, I suppose. It's the only convenient train.
And the Bishop of Lancashire, sir?
He didn't say, but I think we may expect him by the same train. Good gracious. That must be the Bishop already.
He doesn't sound like the Bishop of Benares, ma'am. He generally comes very quietly.
Quick.
Yes, ma'am.
William, I'm sorry. As for my brother James, Lord knows I did it for the best. I only thought of patching up the enmity between you two. I thought of all your hopes of rebuilding the church, and James was the only rich man I thought might be induced under the circumstances.
I don't know what to do.
It isn't the Bishop of Benares, ma'am.
Well, who is it?
I didn't ask his name, ma'am.
How's he dressed?
Rather oddly, ma'am. I noticed that his legs...
Well, then it's James. I can't be seen like this. Show him in, Manson. Oh, I can slip out this way.
This way, if you please.
Ah, you're just in time for breakfast, my lord.
Thanks, Bill Almighty. Don't mind if I does. My belly's fair aching.
Robert.
Yes, it's me holy brother.
But didn't you get my wire?
Yes, I got it. Drains wrong, eh? Thought I'd like to have a look at them. That's my job, you know, drains. So, you'll excuse the togs. Reminds you of old days, eh? What?
Robert. What have you come here for?
You ask me that?
Yes, I do, Bob.
Why, to see my little gal, of course. Curse you. Now go and tell your old woman. Did you hear me? Go and tell her.
While the reluctant Reverend William Smythe seeks out his wife to inform her of the unfortunate arrival of his wayward brother Robert, Manson proceeds to make Robert very much at home with a true English breakfast.
So, this is where me holy brother lives, eh? Blooming palaces never I did see. Oh, well, I'll sit down. He said, breakfast, and breakfast it shall be. Oh, blimey, sausages. Ain't had the taste of sausages in me gizzard for I don't know how long. You wouldn't think as I was his brother, would you? Not to look at me. It's true if I am. And what's more, he can't deny it. There's a lot of brothers knocking about as people don't know, and what? See what I mean? No, not as I'm one of them sort, mind you. My father married my mother, honest. Same as I married my little... Oh, yeah, ain't you going to have no sausages? Why, can't you speak?
Yes.
Well, why can't you answer a bloke when he asks you civil?
You didn't make it clear that you wanted to eat with me.
Oh, wants a bit of heart in it, eh?
Yes.
All right. Sit down, old pal. Make yourself at home. Now, what was I talking about just before you turned nasty?
You were going to say something about your little girl's mother.
Now, look here, mate. Don't you try... Don't you try nothing on with me. I don't care who you are.
I know that.
Then let me be, I tell you.
I should like to hear about her, comrade.
You can't bring her back. She's dead.
What was her name?
Mary. Same as the little girls.
Wonder whether they're anything alike.
That's what I come to see.
How did you come to lose her?
Never you mind.
How did you come to lose her?
Typhoid fever. But it was my own fault as I lost the kid.
That was a sore loss, comrade.
Oh, I knows it. You needn't rub it in. Look here, matey. I hadn't got a bad nature to begin with. Didn't me and my brother Joshua pinch and slave the skin off our bones to send that there spotted swine upstairs to school? That's what we did, till he got his lousy scholarships and run away to get spliced with that she-male pup of a bloodhound. Cause why? Cause we was proud of the little perisher, proud of his headpiece. We hadn't got none ourselves, leastways I hadn't. Joshua was different to me.
What became of your brother Joshua? Where is he now?
I don't know. Now, where was I? You make me lose my hair shoving in with you a bit.
You were saying that you hadn't a bad nature to start with.
No more I hadn't. Of course, when she took and died, things was different. I couldn't hold up the same. Somehow, I don't know, I lost my heart and...
Yes?
That's how I came to lose my kid. My little kid. Mind you, that was 15 year ago. I wasn't half the man I am now. Oh, you can laugh. A man can change a lot in 15 years.
I didn't laugh.
You want to know what's come over me since then? I work. And work well. I don't get much money for it, neither. I ain't the drunkard I was, not by half. If I'm bitter, who's made me bitter? You can't be very sweet and polite on 18 bob a week when you gets it. Wait till I sets eyes on that bleeding brother of mine again, that's all.
Which bleeding brother?
Why, him, of course. The Reverend William.
As the vicar's brother Robert sat there at the table, eating his sausages and conversing with the servant Manson, there came a great loud ringing of the doorbell. The little page boy of the house, startled and impressed, ran forward to perform his service and ushered in the brother of the vicar's wife, James Ponsonby Makeshift D.D., the Most Reverend, the Lord Bishop of Lancashire. It is apparent at once to the most casual observer that his lordship's hearing and sight are both sadly impaired. Proof of his bad eyesight is evident as his lordship greets Robert, whom he immediately mistakes for the vicar.
Mr. Smythe, or am I mistaken?
Smith's my name. Don't you go a-calling of me Smythe.
My dear sir, don't mention it. My sister's explained everything. I bear you no grudge,
oh,
none whatever.
Blimey, what's this silly old bleeder jawing about?
But I perceive that I have disturbed you at your morning meal.
You have that?
Eh? I'm a bit deaf, I'm afraid. Could you speak louder?
I say you have disturbed me morning meal.
Just once more, over.
Oh, crikey. You have, blast you!
Oh, thank you. You're very kind. I think I will. I could get nothing on the journey but a cup of coffee and a bun.
Yes. You looks as if you was fed on buns.
And you must not think on account of the little coolness between us during past years that I have not followed your career with a great interest, very great interest. Your scholastic achievements have been most praiseworthy. But after all, that is not precisely the matter which has brought us together. And that reminds me, has he come yet?
Who?
Your brother, of course.
My brother? You'll see him soon enough.
I gather from your remark that he's not arrived yet. Good. The fact is, I should like a preliminary discussion with yourself before meeting your illustrious brother.
Then you'd better look slippy.
I beg your pardon?
Go on, you word.
Of course, the financial undertaking of rebuilding your church is considerable. It's not like an investment where there's some reasonable hope of returns. It's merely a matter of charity. The money's gone, so to speak. At the same time, I should like my name to be associated with your brother's in so worthy an enterprise.
You don't say.
And then again, I trust. Yes, I say I trust I'm not impervious to the more sacred obligations involved, but...
I always notice that sort of high talk ends with a but.
Eh? What? Who? God bless my soul, I didn't even see you sitting here. Dear, dear, my eyes are becoming weak. Your clothes, sir. Oh, but of course, my brother from Benares, I presume.
What? My pal is brother? Oh, gee, Ossifer.
10,000 pardons, really, but my eyesight's deplorable, and if it weren't for your charming Oriental costume, I wouldn't yet have known you. Delighted to meet you. I was just observing to our charming host that, well, bless me now, what was I observing?
Something about your sacred obligations, I believe.
May I trouble you again?
Your sacred obligations.
Oh, precisely. Well, speaking of that, of course, my dearly beloved brother, I feel very seriously on that matter, very seriously, as I'm sure you do. The restoration of a church is a tremendous and overwhelming responsibility. To begin with, as I've already remarked, it costs quite a lot, doesn't it?
It does, quite a lot.
Yes. And as I said, we must awaken people to a sense of their sacred obligations. This is a work in which everybody can do something. The rich man can give of the abundance with which it has pleased Providence specially to favor him. The poor man with his slender savings need have no fear for the poverty of his gift. Let him give all, it will be accepted. Those of us like yourself, my dear brother, and I say it in all modesty, perhaps myself, we can lend our names to the good work. By the way, I don't think I quite caught your views as to the probable cost.
What do you say to everything you have?
My dear sir, I'm not talking about myself.
Well, everything the others have.
My dear sir, they're not fools. Now do discuss the matter like a man of the world.
God's not watching. Let's give as little and grab as much as we can.
Shh, my dear brother, remember who's present. However, we will return to this later. I begin to understand you.
Yes. You think you do?
At the same time, I do think we ought to come to some general understanding. Now, from all accounts, you have had some experience of church building out in India. How did you manage it?
Sacrifice.
Oh, of course, of course. But practically, they say it's an enormous concern.
So it is.
Well, what would such an establishment as that represent in round numbers now?
Numberless millions.
Do you mean to tell me that one man alone could obtain numberless millions for such an object as that? Well, how could you possibly get them together?
They came freely from every quarter of the world.
On the security of your own name alone?
No other, I assure you.
For heaven's sake, what sort of a place is it? Tell me all about your church.
I'm afraid you may not consider it an altogether substantial concern. It has to be seen in a certain way, under certain conditions. Some people never see it at all. You must understand, this is no dead pile of stones and unmeaning timber. It's a living thing.
Numberless millions.
When you enter it, you hear a sound. A sound as of some mighty poem chanted. Listen long enough, and you will learn that it is made up of the beating of human hearts, of the nameless music of men's souls. That is, if you have ears. If you have eyes, you will presently see the church itself, a looming mystery of many shapes and shadows, leaping sheer from floor to dome.
On the security of one man's name?
The pillars of it go up like the trunks of heroes. The sweet human flesh of men and women is molded about its bulwarks, strong, impregnable. The faces of children laugh out from every cornerstone. The terrible spans and arches are the joined hands of comrades. It is yet building, building and built upon. Now beneath the burden of unutterable anguish, now to the tune of a great laughter and heroic shoutings like the cry of thunder. Sometimes, in the silence of the night time,
One may hear the tiny hammerings of the comrades at work up in the dome. The comrades that have climbed ahead.
I think I begins to understand you, comrade. Especially that bit about the hammerings and the arches. And I don't suppose what is there, there's no drain hands wanted in that there church of yourn, is there?
Drains are a very important question there at present.
Well, I'd be cussing over every stinking pipe I laid.
I should make that a condition, comrade.
I don't know. Things have got in a bit of a muck with me. I say, you. Have you ever heard of L?
Of what?
L. H-E-L-L-L.
Well, my dear sir, I think I ought to.
Then bloody well go there. Amen. Now I'll go and have a look at our Bill's drains. Blast his eyes.
A scoundrel. Did you hear what he said? I shall certainly report him to his bishop.
I don't think I should. His bishop doesn't mind a little plain speech now and again.
A little plain speech? Do you think it's right for a clergyman to direct me to perdition?
I think you're making a mistake. The man who gave you your direction is not a clergyman. He looks after drains.
Do you mean to tell me that I've been sitting down to breakfast with a common working man?
Yes. Have you never done that before?
My dear sir, whatever you take me for.
A bishop of God's church.
Precisely. Is it your custom to breakfast with working men? But after all, it's a digression from the purpose from which we are here. Let me see, then. To resume our, how shall I call it, our little understanding, eh?
That describes it most accurately.
Now, you said, let's give as little and grab as much as we can. Of course, that is a playful way of putting it, but between ourselves, it expresses my sentiments exactly.
I knew that when I said it.
My dear brother. Your comprehension makes my heart warm. I trust our relations may always remain as warm.
Oh, warmer, warmer.
Very well, then, to business. I tell you candidly, I agree with you, that there's no necessity for sinking anything of our own in the concern. But there is in existence a society, a very influential society, in which I happen to have an interest. In fact, I'm one of the directors.
Pleasant here in the house now. I do wonder where everyone's gone to. Uncle William and Auntie and Manson. He told me I must wish for what I wanted most, and that if I wished hard enough, it would come true. Oh, but wishing's a dreadfully difficult thing when you really set about it, isn't it? Ordinary things just won't do. I've been thinking hard, trying to think, what have I needed most? What have I not had? Oh, I know. And I've never dreamed of it till now.
Oh, I beg your pardon, miss.
Who are you? What are you doing here?
I was going to see what's in that room.
If you do,
it's all a mistake, miss. Perhaps I'd better take my coat.
Oh, stop. How dare you? Don't you know you're a very wicked man?
Oh, me, miss?
Yes, you.
Yes, I knows it.
That isn't the way to be happy, you know. Thieves are never really happy in their hearts.
What's it? You take me for a thief, miss? You? Why don't you answer?
Oh, my God, my God.
Of course, if you're sorry, that makes a difference.
I'm a bit of a low one, miss, but I never come so stinking low as a thief. You thought I looked like one all the same, didn't you, now?
Well, you see, I thought you said, and then there's your...
I know. You don't like the academic jib. Sort of a fizzog for a thief, eh? See them lines? Want to know what them stands for? That's drink and starvation and hard work and a damn lonely life.
Oh, you poor man, you mustn't say damned, you know.
No, miss.
That's wicked at any rate.
Yes, miss.
And you owned yourself that you drank. That's not very good either.
No, miss.
So you see, you are a little bit naughty after all, aren't you?
Yes, miss.
Do you know, I'd like to do you some good.
You, miss?
Yes, wouldn't you like me to?
You are the only person in the world I'd like to see try.
Oh, that's because you know I'm interested in you that I mean it. Now, don't you think if you were really to wish very hard, it would make things better for you?
I don't know what you mean, miss.
Well, it's like this. If you only wish very, very hard, everything comes true. I'm wishing now. I'm wishing hard.
So am I. God help me. But it ain't no use.
Oh, but it is. What are you wishing for?
Oh, never mind. Something impossible.
Oh, so's mine. That's what it has to be. Mine's the most impossible thing in the world.
Not more than mine.
What's yours?
What's yours?
I want my father.
I want my little kid.
Your what?
My daughter.
Oh. Is she dead? Is she?
As far as I'm concerned, yes. I give her up. Had to.
Why?
Look at me. That, and the drink, and the low wages, and me old woman dying. That's why I give her up.
Where is she now?
Oh, never mind. She's being looked after.
By whom?
By people as I've always hated like poison.
Why, aren't they kind to her?
Yes, they've made her summit as I couldn't have done.
Well, then why do you hate them?
Oh, I don't any longer. I hates myself. I hates the world I lives in. I hates the bloomin' muckhole I've landed into.
Isn't it strange, both our wishes alike? You want your little girl and I my father.
What sort of a...
Yes?
What sort of a bloke might your father be, miss?
I don't know. I've never seen him.
Ain't you got no idea? Never heard tell of him?
Never.
Why, miss?
I don't know.
Oh. Perhaps he ain't good enough to be the brother of your Uncle William and Uncle Joshua, eh, miss?
Oh, I can't think that.
Why not, miss? Three good brothers in a family don't scarcely seem possible. Not as families goes now, do they, miss?
Oh, you mustn't talk like that. A father must be much, much better than anyone else.
But suppose he ain't.
Oh, but he is, I know it. Why... That's what I'm wishing.
Perhaps it ain't altogether his fault, miss.
Oh, don't, please don't.
Things might have been agin him, miss.
Oh, you make me so unhappy.
Perhaps he's had an hard life. A bitter hard life. Same as I have, miss.
Oh, now, please, please. I can quite understand. Indeed, indeed I can, and I'm sorry. So sorry for you. Oh, I did so want to help you.
You have, miss.
Before you go, won't you tell me your name?
I ain't got no name worth speaking of, miss. I'm just the bloke what's a-looking after the drains. Goodbye, miss. Sorry I used bad words, miss.
Goodbye.
Goodbye, miss.
Martha, it's no use. I can't behave kindly towards your brother James.
He is greatly changed.
After all, why should we invite him here? As for his filthy money, do you think any blessing is going to fall upon a church built on such a foundation?
It's not as bad as that. Why don't you compose yourself and try and be contented and happy?
How can I be happy with that man poisoning the air I breathe? How can I be happy and my brother Robert, what I have made him?
We are not talking of Robert, we are talking of you.
Tell me, are you quite sure that you've grasped the full meaning of your brother's project?
Of course.
Well, what is it?
James explained, clearly enough, the affiliation of your brother Joshua's scheme with that of the society he mentioned.
Yes? What society?
The Society for the Extension of Greater Usefulness Among the Clergy.
And the financial possibilities of the scheme? Did his eloquence on that point escape you?
My dear, you can't expect everybody to be an idealist. Remember, he's a practical man. He's a bishop.
Didn't his proposal amount to this? That we should turn the good name and reputation of my brother Joshua into a bogus building society? Of which the funds were to be scraped together from all the naked bodies and starving bellies of the world, while we and our thieving co-directors should collar all the swag?
He offers to give you his patronage, his influence, and his time. All he asks of your brother is his bare name.
Yes, and all he asks of me is simply my eloquence, my gift of words, my power of lying plausibly.
William, he's offering you the opportunity of your life.
No.
Now listen to me, William, listen to me.
I've listened to you too long. I'm resolved to be free from this hour. Free of lies, free even from you if needs be. Free of everything that clogs and hinders me in the work I have to do.
What are you going to do?
Three things.
Yes?
Tell Mary everything. Send for my brother Robert. And then answer that monster in there.
William, you never dare.
Oh, Auntie, Uncle, I want to speak to you both, please, at once.
And I want to speak to you.
Is it important, Uncle? Mine's dreadfully important.
So is mine.
Let the child speak, William.
I hardly know how to begin. Perhaps it's only my cowardice. Perhaps it isn't really dreadful after all.
Why, what are you thinking of, Mary?
It's about something we've never spoken of before. Something I've never been told.
Yes?
Yes.
I want to know about my father. Is that very terrible, Uncle? Auntie?
Don't ask me, child.
Why?
I have nothing to tell you.
I have.
William!
I have, I say. Now, come sit here, Mary. Now, what do you want to know about your father?
Everything there is to know.
William, this is brutal.
It is my work, Martha. Now, Mary, what put this thought into your head today?
I don't know. It only came clear a few minutes ago, just before I went into the garden. All of a sudden, it came. I found myself wishing for my father, wondering why I'd never seen him, despising myself because I'd never thought of him before.
Well, and what then?
I tried to picture him to myself. I imagined all that he must be. A father must be much, much better than anything else in the world. He must be brave. He must be beautiful. And he must be good. That's true of fathers, isn't it, Uncle? Isn't it?
A father ought to be all these things.
And then...
Yes?
I met a poor, miserable man. Oh, it still seems like a dream the way I met him. And he said something that hurt me terribly. He seemed to think that my father... that perhaps my father might be nothing of the sort.
Why, who was he, this man?
He wouldn't tell me his name. I mistook him for a thief at first, but afterward I felt very, very sorry for him. You see, his case was rather like my own. He was wishing for his little girl.
And he wouldn't tell you his name?
No, I asked him, but he wouldn't. He seemed to be thinking about himself and how unworthy he was of his own little girl.
Did he say unworthy?
Well, that's what I think he meant. What he said was that perhaps my father wasn't good enough to be your brother, Uncle. That's not true, is it?
Oh, by heaven, that's not true.
Oh, I knew it. I knew it.
You don't understand.
Oh, I understand quite enough. That's all I wanted to know.
Listen, child, listen. I mean, it is I who am not worthy to be called his brother.
William, this is absurd.
Isn't he, dear?
Listen to me, Mary. I have something to tell you. Try to bear it bravely. Supposing your father were not what you imagine him to be.
Uncle, didn't you just say that?
Supposing that wretched man you spoke with just now were right, after all, what would you say?
Uncle.
Supposing he were one upon whom all the curses of the world had been most cruelly visited. His soul the prey of hate and bitterness. What would you say?
Uncle, it would be terrible. Terrible.
What will you say, then, to the man who has brought him such ruin? What will you say to that man, being God's priest?
Uncle, do you mean...
I mean that I am the man.
You...
It's not true, Mary. It's a lie. It's entirely your father's own fault.
I don't understand. Why should Uncle William lie to me?
He's overwrought. He's ill. It's like your Uncle William to take upon himself another man's wickedness.
Then that is true, at least. My father is a wicked man.
He is what I have made him. I and no other.
There is another. I kept them apart. I poisoned your uncle against your father. I took you away from him. It was I who kept you in ignorance of your father.
Why?
Because he stands in the way of my husband's happiness. Because I hate him. I could almost wish him dead.
Martha.
Then I have nobody now. There's no use wishing anymore.
Mary.
No, I... Please, I think I'll go now.
So... God has revealed his partisanship. He has beggared us both.
I'm not going to be beggared without a struggle for it, William.
What are you going to do, Martha?
Do you think I'm going to stand by and see your life wrecked, yours and their child's?
And what of Robert?
Robert. That's what I'm going to see to now. There's only one way of dealing with a brute like that. Pack him off to Australia, Africa, anywhere, so long as we're never pestered with him again. Oh, I'll find the money. A drunkard like that'll do anything for money. Providentially, that child doesn't know the worst.
And what knowledge do you consider Providence has so kindly spared her?
The knowledge who that man was. She shall never know if I can have my way. I rang. Why doesn't he come? Why doesn't he come?
Who?
Manson.
You rang?
Yes. Yes, come in, Manson. I want to have a little confidential talk with you. Confidential, you understand?
I expected this.
Manson, you saw everything. You were here when that dreadful creature arrived.
Which?
Why, my husband's brother, Robert. Perhaps I'd better begin by explaining everything quite clearly.
There is no need. I know everything already.
Everything? How?
A certain gift of divination. And besides, you forget that I had a long conversation with your brother-in-law after Master left the room.
What? Whilst my brother was here?
Yes, we all three had breakfast together.
Breakfast? Then James has heard all.
Not quite all. You may have observed that your brother is a little deaf.
But surely, what did he think?
He mistook your brother-in-law for your husband.
My husband?
Your brother is a little blind, remember. As you know, he mistook me also. You remember how upset he was when he discovered that I was a servant in this house?
Then James never found out?
Oh, yes. I took care to undeceive him on that point.
Good gracious. How did he take it?
At first a little angrily. But after a while, some few poor words of my own chanced to move him to more profitable meditation.
Manson, you're perfectly wonderful. I respect you very, very much.
It is not enough. I shall require more.
Oh, of course. I shall be glad to do anything that... What do you mean?
I mean that service such as mine demands a great recompense.
Well, you may be sure that anything in reason...
It must go beyond that.
Well, what do you ask?
The uttermost obedience, loyalty, and love.
Manson, how dare you? By what right?
By my own right.
This is insolence. What right do you mean?
The right of understanding, the right of purpose, and the right of will.
Oh, you force me to speak angrily to you. Do you forget that you're my servant?
No, and therefore it is my office to command you now. Sit down and hear me speak.
He's been sent to help you, Martha. This is God's work. God's servant.
Over here, please.
I...
Now, let me tell you exactly why you've sent for me here. There's a strange and wretched turmoil in your soul. You've done wrong and you know it. But you don't know all. You would keep what miserable little right you have by bolstering up with further wrong. And you've sent for me to help you in that wrong.
How dare you say that?
Haven't you sent for me to help you in your plans about his brother, Robert?
What plan?
The plan of banishing him further from your lives than ever.
How did you know that?
I know you.
I'm not thinking of myself. I'm thinking only of my husband's happiness.
Behold the happiness you've already brought him.
There's the child. It would break her heart.
What is her heart but broken now? By you.
Robert himself would be the first to repudiate any other plan.
Have you tried him?
Of course not, but he must see the impossibility.
What impossibility?
Well, the impossibility of having him here. The impossibility of letting him see the child. The impossibility of him and his brother ever meeting again.
Is that your only difficulty?
Only difficulty? Would you have me welcome him with open arms?
Yes, and heart too.
Have him here? Entertain him? Treat him as a guest?
As an honored guest.
In this house?
This house.
Good heavens, what else?
Sweep and garnish it throughout. Seek out and cleanse its hidden corners. Make it fair and ready to lodge him royally as a brother.
I won't do it. I can't. I can't.
With my assistance, you can.
Manson, how can we bring it about?
I daren't. I daren't.
I dare. I will.
How is it possible?
Make me the lord and master of this house for one little hour.
By heaven, yes.
And you. You.
Yes.
Then first to cleanse it of its abominations. There.
Well, here is the letter I've written to the secretary of our society. I've explained everything quite nicely. Now, what? Oh?
I bear you a message from the master of this house. Leave it.
Really, most extraordinary. Now, again, please.
You are no longer necessary. Leave this house.
You scoundrel. You impudent scoundrel. Mr. Smythe, where are you? Do you hear what this blackguard says?
I endorse it. Every word.
Now I see it all. I've been trapped. I've been tricked. Martha, this is all you're doing. You brought me here on a trumped-up story of a relationship with the Bishop of Benares to insult me. I was made to sit down and eat sausages with a butler and a common working man. Martha, you're no sister of mine henceforward. And I've one word for you, sir. You are a scoundrel, sir. A cheat. An imposter. And if I could have my way with you, I'd have you publicly whipped. I'd have you nailed up, sir, for an example.
I have encountered similar hostility before, my lord. From gentlemen very like your lordship. Allow me.
Thank you.
Let me speak, Uncle. I've been thinking very hard. I've been trying to put things together again and make them straight. I'm sorry I was unkind just now. I didn't mean. You are everything I have. Everything I've ever had. And as for what Uncle said about himself, I mean, I can't believe it. Now, I'm sure there's a mistake somewhere. And mistakes can always be put right if we only help one another and mean it. Shall we try, Uncle? Shall we, Auntie?
If it's not too late.
It can't be too late, Auntie dear. If we all wish very hard. I was a coward to give up wishing. That was my sin, too.
God knows I wish, Mary.
And I.
And indeed I do. I've been trying to look the worst in the face. Supposing my father is the wicked man you say. The very, very wickedest man that ever lived. Don't you think if we tried to love him very much, it might make a difference?
What made you think of that, Mary?
It's what you taught me, Uncle, in your sermons.
I taught you?
Yes, and besides, there's another reason. I've been thinking about that poor man I met this morning.
Yes?
What of him?
He said he was a wicked man. And at first he looked so dreadfully wicked that I believed him. But when I began to look at him closely and heard him talk about his little girl, everything seemed different. I could no more believe him than I could believe you, Uncle, when you said such awful things about yourself. I believe he was a much better man than he ever dreamed. And so I think we might find my father just the same if he were properly loved and looked after.
Can I be heard civil in this house if I speaks a few words? Hold back. Don't you come near me. Don't you so much as speak till I've done. You don't know me. You don't know me. You understand? There ain't no one here as knows who I am except one little girl. Her over there. Keep quiet. Here, miss. Tell him who I am.
Why, it's my friend, the man I was telling you about. The man who looks after drains.
That's right. I'm the drain man, see? Thought you might be mistaking me for someone else if you wasn't told. And now you know.
Go on.
What I come here to talk about's my job. Perhaps you'll think it ain't a tasty subject for a lot of nice, clean, respectable people. But someone's got to see to the drains. Someone's got to clean up the muck of the world. I'm the one, and I'm here to tell you about it.
Go on, go on.
Well, I come to this house this morning. I don't mind owning it, in a rotten bad frame of mind. That young lady will tell you what I was like when she first saw me. I looked that bad, she thought I'd come to steal something. Well, perhaps I did, after all. Some as I had no right to. Some fingers don't properly belong to a streaky swine like me. It was when she first saw me.
What changed you?
A bloke I met, miss, what knowed me better than I knowed myself. He changed me.
Manson?
Don't remember his name. He was a fair knockout. Got togs on him like a Earl's Court exhibition. He changed me. He taught me my own mind. He brought me back to my own job. Drains.
Yes.
Funny thing, ma'am. People's born different. Some's born without noses in their heads worth speaking of. Now, I wasn't. I can smell out a stink anywhere.
I'm sure you can. This is most interesting.
And the moment I stuck me head in this here house, I knowed as summat was wrong in my line, and I says to myself, that's drains. And drains it was. Strike me dead, asking your pardon.
Now, didn't I always say
that? Yes, miss. You were one of the nosy ones, I can see. Well, I got me smeller down and went down into the drains. Followed up the scent, and afore I knowed where I was in it up to me eyes. Muck, ma'am, just look at me hands. I followed up that there drain, and I said, where's this leading to? Where's it emptying into?
Very rightly, I see.
So up I goes through the slugs, a-puffing and a-blowing. So, truth, it seemed miles. Talk about beautiful, ma'am. I'd have done your heart good, it would really. Rats. Hundreds on them, mum. I'm bit clean through in places. Somedever I pushed me way through, holding me nose and fighting for me breath, till at last I got to the end. And then I saw what was the matter. It's under the church. That's where it is. I knows it's the church, because I heard the church's one foundation on the organ rambling up over me head.
Yes.
You'd never guess what I saw there. Not if you was to try from now till glory hallelujah. Why, it ain't no drain at all.
No. Well, what is it then?
It's a grave.
A grave?
Yes. One of them whopping great beer vaults what you shove Big Bugs' corpses into. What do you think of that now?
Oh, it's horrible.
You'd have said so if you'd seen what I saw. Talk about coffins and shrouds and bones and dead men gone to rot. Why, they wasn't in it with what I saw down there. Lord. Why, it had cost a man his life to deal with that little job.
Oh, the thing's impossible.
Impossible? Means a bit of work, that's all.
Why, no one would ever dare to...
Dare? What do you think I come here for?
You?
Yes.
Do you mean...
I mean as I've found my place, or I don't know a good thing when I see it.
What? To go into that dreadful vault?
Why not? Ain't it my job?
But you said perhaps death.
It's worth it. It's a lovely bit of work.
No, the sacrifice is too much.
You calls that sacrifice? Why, it's fun, not half.
I'd rather see the church itself abandoned.
What? And you calls yourself a clergyman?
I call myself nothing. I am nothing, less than nothing in all this living world.
But I calls myself Simon. I'm the drain man. That's what I am.
You shall not go.
Why, what is there to be afraid of? Ain't it worthwhile to move away that load of muck?
But the stench and the horror and the darkness.
What's it matter? The comrades up above have light and joy and a breath of wholesome air to sing by.
Then you mean to go?
By heavens, yes.
And then by all the powers of grace, you shall not go alone. If you're ready, comrade, you and I together.
God bless you, William.
Well, I don't know. It's dangerous, you understand?
I go with you.
This ain't psalms and hymns and old maids' tea parties, mind you. It may mean typhoid.
I understand.
Rats!
Yes?
They don't leave you alone. They got teeth, remember. Poison in them.
I will go with you.
All right. And let's have summat to eat and get along. There ain't nothing more to say.
Yes, there is.
Why? What do you mean, miss?
I mean that I understand. That I know who you are.
Me?
Yes. You're my father.
How the everlasting did you know that?
Because you're my wish come true. Because you're brave. Because you're very beautiful. Because you're good.
My little kid. My little kid.
Robert.
Brother.
Beg pardon, sir. Perhaps you'd like to know. The Bishop of Benares is here.
Oh, already, Manston? Let's have him in at once.
He is here.
What do you mean, Manson? Where is he?
Here.
What? In God's name. Who are you?
In God's name, your brother.
On this occasion of Easter Sunday, the Great Play Series has presented one of the drama's most noted plays, of which the theme is the Spirit of Christ and its manifestations among men. The Servant in the House, written by Charles Rann Kennedy,